the ocean circulates. So these plastics will gather in the center of that circulation. And many of you have probably heard of these huge garbage patches, you know, ocean garbage patches, which are big areas of this floating debris. This is over 100 kilograms per square kilometer.
There are currently 5 separate garbage patches forming in our oceans, 2 in the Atlantic, 2 in the Pacific, and 1 in the Mid-Atlantic. These ocean garbage patches are so large that they can be seen from space. Don't think of these as a giant floating island of plastic. Think of them more like a very thin soup of plastic, suspended from the surface all the way down to the ocean floor. The plastic debris comprising these garbage patches ranges in size from large, like tires and nets, to microscopic. Where are these plastics coming from, and what can we do about them?
I'm Maddie Wake, a first-year PhD student at the Geology and Geologic Engineering Department.
In today's episode, Dr. James Sitzel, Associate Professor in the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry at the University of Mississippi, introduces us to the microplastics all around us and discusses his research group's recent work on quantifying microplastic concentrations in the Mississippi River.
I woke up and I began to count everything that I came in contact with that was plastic. I began to touch whatever I touched that was plastic, I made a note of. And, you know, starting from a toothbrush and toothpaste to shampoo bottle, comb, clothes, so on and so on. And I think you would come to the same conclusion that I came, that we are basically awash of plastic. But that wasn't always the case, right? Some of us, our parents or grandparents, grew up in a society, in a world where there were plastics. Plastics really took off after the World War II and around 1960 and exponentially increased. And this led, basically, these cheap products and very convenient products led to our throwaway society, right, in terms of items and plastics. And some of people are now calling this era the era of plastics.
Gone are the gold, silver, and bronze ages. Now, we've embraced plastic. In an era of plastic, what are microplastics? How do they form? And how do they enter our waterways?
Plastic, over time, weathers in the environment, right? It breaks down into smaller particles. So the smaller particles are called microplastics. The problem with these guys, they're so small and buoyant. When they enter the wastewater stream, the wastewater plants were not meant or designed to handle plastics in many cases, right? And so these plastics can actually make it through, to some extent, the wastewater treatment process. And this is a fragmentation of these plastics, or degradation. And it includes things like tires. We each go through, you know, a set of tires every couple of years or so. Where does all that tread go? It's on the side of the road in terms of little plastic particles that can be washed into streams and carried into waterways. There's also fibers that shed from our clothing. We're not only a throwaway society in terms of plastic, we also throw a lot of clothes away as well. And when we wash our clothes, these fibers can be also sent into the wastewater treatment plant. So one particle, if it breaks down in this manner, doubling within 20 cycles, you'll have over a million little plastic particles from that one fragment.
Microplastics are not only a concern in the ocean, and aquatic life are not the only ones at risk.
So scientists have now been studying microplastic pollution, and basically we're finding microplastic particles wherever we look. They're distributed wherever wind can take them and wherever water goes. And so they've been found at very remote, on the top of mountains. Some microfibers are very light and can be carried by wind. In fact, they can be caught up in rain, and people have now been measuring microplastics in rain or even in snow in the Arctic region. So bottom line is microplastic pollution is everywhere.
If microplastics are everywhere, what is the risk to human health?
So are we being exposed to microplastics? Well, if it's getting in the food chain, clearly we are also being exposed as well. In fact, people have now studied microplastics in a variety of foodstuffs, including bottled water, obviously. Is there an issue with human health? Well, the answer is we just don't know. There was a lot of, this is a subject of a lot of scientific scrutiny and research, but you can imagine this is a very complex, difficult thing to measure effects in humans, but it is under study. If we look at going down in size, toxic effects often increase. And part of that is the plastics, as they get smaller and smaller, are no longer just simply in the digestive tract. Now they can translocate, get out of that digestive tract and go into different tissues, and that can have some effects as well.
Microplastics are everywhere, but can be hard to detect with the human eye. How are microplastics sampled in the field?
A lot of people use nets to collect microplastics, right? And they even can go off a bridge. Another approach is to tow a net through the water, and this is actually one of the ways we collect samples from the Gulf of Mexico. And in fact, we've got these little devices that go inside the net that spin, that record how much water has passed through the net, so we can back calculate the volume of water that went through the net. My brother's a big fisherman up in Great Lakes in Lake Erie, and he uses these side planers to take his fishing lines out to the side of the boat. And so where there's enough fast water, we can put this side planer in, and it takes our net out into the river a little bit. We use basic grab samples. These mason jars that are all glass, panic jars, we could go out and collect these surface waters or down below and sample those by a grab sample.
Using grab samples, Dr. Sidzel and his team collected water samples along the Mississippian Gulf Coast to analyze for microplastic concentrations.
First thing to point out is that every sample that we've collected, we've measured microplastic above blank levels. Often our blank levels are very low or non-existent, and they're mostly fibers in these small little fragments. There's some beads, but that's the type of morphology that's most common. In general, when we're near cities or population centers, it seems the plastic level microplastics increase. That's particles counts generally increase with decreasing size. Loads of microplastics generally increased down the main stem of the Mississippi River until we got to New Orleans, where we think maybe the water tends to slow and things start to deposit. Concentrations decreased a little bit down there. If we look at USGS flow data, how much water is traveling through these different rivers near Memphis, and look at the concentrations we collected, We're measuring or showing that we're seeing millions to millions of these microplastic particles passing by every day on their way to the Gulf of Mexico.
The Mississippi River alone is a source of millions of microplastic particles flowing into the ocean every day. What about the Nile, the Ganges, the Amazon? All depositing invisible streams of plastic into the ocean. I'm wondering, how can we reduce our plastic footprints and reduce the quantity of microplastics entering our oceans?
I'll start with something we all know. If we can just minimize our use of single plastic items, single-use plastic items. It seems like my daughters are using less. I think the newer generation seems to be doing this, so that's a positive. We can check labels. Some of these plastics have been banned. For example, there used to be polyethylene beads in deodorant. A lot of times it was just simply put in as a filler or as for cosmetic use, unnecessary. The basic idea is to reduce, reuse, and recycle. And I think it's important that we all take a long-term look at things, not think short-term, and vote for politicians that listen to science and vote for science-based policy.
In an era of plastic, it is up to us to reduce, recycle, and reuse. If we all carry refillable water bottles, trade paper for plastic, recycle, and participate in watershed cleanups, we can make a difference in reducing the size of the ocean garbage patches.
Be sure to subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or whatever platform you're tuning into right now. You can also follow us on social media. On Instagram, we are Sippin' Science, with an underscore between Sippin' and Science. On Twitter, you can follow us at UM Science Cafe, or like us on Facebook at the Oxford Science Cafe. We'll be posting updates, pictures, and notifications about new podcast episodes over there. The Oxford Science Cafe features monthly talks and conversations about science for the local community here in Oxford, Mississippi. We are sponsored by the University of Mississippi Office of the Provost, the Department of Physics and Astronomy, and the UM Women in Physics. Thanks again for listening, and see you next time.